For the interpretation section of the design thinking project, what we were able to accomplish is we were able to analyze data based on a survey of students and teachers, as well as an interview of an expert, and really rethink our overall question and our overall goal for the project. The information that we received from the survey, especially from the parents, was eye-opening, and we were able to come up with some themes and restructure our question to better fit what parents are looking for in terms of digital knowledge. So that was that. As far as my individual contribution for this week, once again, a lot of the work that we did was collaborative, but part of my contribution was to expose my team members to a real-time whiteboard, which is a way to collaborate in real time using sticky notes and videos and many other things that are very interesting. And this can be used both for grown-ups and as well as students. I find it a very visual way to collaborate and get information together. I also continue to work with my teammates to create questions based on the data that we saw and make sure that we all agreed on specifically what we want to continue forward with this project, what we want to do forward this project. I also developed the survey as well. I took the information that we created with questions and put it in a survey form, shipped it out or sent it out to my colleagues so that they could actually give it to the different parents that were going to be surveyed. I conducted a parent interview, a follow-up to the survey, just to get more information of what parents are actually thinking about. And there were many other things, but those are the only ones I can think of the top of my head right now. Challenges for our group. The challenge for our group has always been that we have different school districts. And so one of the things that happens is that two of the people in the group, there's a group of three, two of the people in the group sort of have a connection in terms of the type of students that they get to deal with or work with and the type of parents that we get to work with. But one of the members has a different type of overall demographics. So that's always very difficult to do and try to accommodate that one particular member. Having said that, I think that because of the results of the survey and what we were able to find, it became a lot easier to do that. To be able to speak the same language and sort of have the same goal, which wasn't happening before when we were making assumptions as the people creating this design thinking project. How would I apply this project to our colleagues and students? I think the most important thing is that we as teachers jumped into conclusions when we started with the first question or when we started developing this project. And one of the things that I learned from this, and I think this is something that's very powerful for my colleagues, is to take a step back, to really listen to what your stakeholders are asking for versus making assumptions that you know more than the stakeholders. And I think that's very powerful. And that also accounts for, or also goes for students as well. A lot of times students make assumptions and once we teach them how to analyze data and how to look at data, which is a very important thing to do, not only for projects, but also for their own individual learning and their own individual growth, I think they will start seeing things in a much different way. As far as Emily Pulitzer's project, one of the things that I did like was that the design thinking project was not just based onto something like a workshop or something to do with specific forms or specific strategies to educate somebody. But it also had to do with actual physical or tangible assets like the actual computer lab and how to actually set up that space to create a more interesting way of learning. And I actually found that computer lab really inspiring. If I was a student, even a teacher, I would love to work in a computer lab like that. So I think that was one of the things that really did inspire me, that is just not your normal, let's talk about strategies and how to solve the world's problems through education, but also through actual room placement and through physical areas. So that was great. Okay. Now, the second part of this reflection is my actual letter, as if I was a principal at a school. So I would start with, "Welcome to school, eh? I am very happy that you have chosen our school and that your student will be one of our students for the upcoming school year. One of the things that we strive as a school is to make sure that this year and the subsequent years that you're with us, that you feel like and that you know that you are a very important and integral part of our school. My door is always open. My ears are always open. So if you ever need me at any point, just catch me. Pull me aside, and I will be more than happy to listen to your concerns, to discuss your child's growth, and to find ways to improve our school. Because at the end, it is our school. It's not my school. It's not just your student's school, but it's the school of all of us." Having said that, we are a school that is focused on technology as one of its primary ways of teaching students. So, with that in mind, the goal of technology at our school is to promote innovation and student engagement. Technology is only one method of instruction among many our teachers use. But when used, it is for the purpose of promoting student engagement and developing the four C's, which are collaboration, communication, creativity, and critical thinking. In regards to critical thinking, our school strives to create a safe environment that allows students to share ideas and discuss, challenge, and transform those ideas in a respectful way. Through critical thinking, our students will learn humility, questioning, metacognition, and empathy for their classmates, their teachers, the community, and the world at large. In order to accomplish this, we do ask our students to follow these eight guidelines for digital citizenship, and also our parents, our staff, and the community that interacts with us on a daily basis. One of the guidelines is to respect the online privacy of others. Second is to create a positive online reputation. Third, only share appropriate materials with others. Fourth, protect yourself and protect others. Five, think before you post. Six, respect other people's property. This includes digital property. Seven, be a digital leader. And number eight, do no harm. If you would like to have more information on how your student can learn about digital citizenship outside of our school, here are three resources that you can access at any time from home in order to learn more. The first one is Common Sense Media at www.commonsensemedia.org. You can also learn more about digital citizenship through YouTube's Understanding YouTube and Digital Citizenship. And finally, you can find more information through ikeepsafe.org. Once again, as I said before, I am very pleased that you have chosen to bring your student and your or your child to our school and to be part of our community. We look forward to working with you on a daily basis. And if you need anything, my door is always open. Thank you very much for your time.